something, you might know it, may not. I did, this one brought my attention, but this month is Pasture Appreciation Month. So, this is Pasture Appreciation Month. To show our appreciation, the church has got you a brand new laptop.
Wow, that's, I don't deserve that bad. Thank you so much. That will really be useful, man. Thank you so very much, folks. You're just too good. Thank you. Just to be allowed to be here before you people is a great blessing. Thank you. You people are so good. Welcome to each and every one this morning. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house. We see we've got two or three people that didn't get to see you a while ago and that are missing, and we hope that things are going okay for them. But as we come together, we have a great God. We have God has been good to us, and you're looking good. And as I told our Bible class, you have to bear with me now today because I'll be sliding glasses up and down. See, I can see you pretty good. You look good out there, but I'll slide them up. You don't look so good. You're blurry. You're all blurry. I don't know. So hopefully we'll get all this straightened out here within the next couple of weeks and so forth. But I'm so glad everything's working pretty good. But however I look at you, you look good. God bless you. As we come together this morning, let me lead you, if you will. We haven't did this for a while. Let me lead you in the 23rd Psalm, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's praise him for it.
For human worship this morning, we're going to start with 291st and last verse, and Biddy will have the prayer. This whole thing.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, how thankful we are that we have a great and wonderful God as you. one who loves us, cares for us, provides for us so abundantly. And dear God, you've done this past week. You've just helped us through the things that we had to deal with, and you've allowed us now, Heavenly Father, give us the joy, the privilege to be here together as a church family. So we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for each one present here this morning. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we come to honor you and to worship you and to seek you and to draw close to you, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll reach out and you'll help us, Almighty God, and you will comfort us and that you will equip us, that you will strengthen us, Heavenly Father, that you will give us a guide, an insight on the things that we might be faced with this week, and you will help us through those, dear God. We're so thankful that we have a Savior in Jesus. Father God in heaven, we realize that you could have done things so much different, and you could have just wiped us off. We could have went with the flood, and no one would be here, but you could still had great things for yourself. But you have desired to have man to fellowship with, and through that, you've given your Son that has made it possible for us to have the fellowship we have with you. So, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the salvation that we have through Christ. We're so thankful for the hope we have through Christ Jesus. And we're so thankful, dear God, for the people that we have that we come together with, fellowship and worship with, and just to be loved by. And Father God, we really thank you for this congregation, the love they show for one another. More than that, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that they show for you and for our Lord Jesus. So this morning, Father God, please look upon us and have favor upon us, if you will. And Heavenly Father, bless us, if you will, please bless us. Might your hand be upon each one here today. That Heavenly Father, that you will guide us and guard us, that no evil that Satan could come up would be on us and harm us or give us pain, but we can live the joyous life that Jesus came to give us. Thank you for that. We honor you. We worship you. We want to say in all ways, thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
For communion hymn this morning, going to be used number 364, singing the first and last verse.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, sweet to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my rapture soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I watch and wait, hope and trust in ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
I'm going to take the morning reading from John, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 53rd verse. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity you have granted us to gather your house on the Lord today. As we come around your table, we thank you now for the loaf and the cup, represents the broken and bruised body, but through him we have life and have it everlasting. Now go with us to the further exercise of service. Guard, guide, direct us. Save us in the end. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for all these blessings you give us each day as we bring a portion of these back to our tithes and offerings. We We ask that you multiply that from your kingdom. We ask it in your Son, Jesus' name.
Once again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house. And first of all, let me point out, I guess that's a fair way to say, welcome. I want to welcome some people that you folks know real well back here on the back row with Virgil, Virgil's cousins. And the best way I can announce them is the fact they're Stella's granddaughters. And Stella was so special to us. Of all the great people I've met, and men and women alike, the greatest lady I ever met was Stella Marshall. I think of her daily, really. She's so sweet, was so sweet. So we welcome you guys this morning. And as I said before, it looks like we got several missing this morning. We got a whole row out there of Frank and those folks. And look, and Wayne's not with us. And Pauline is not able to be with us today. And guys, we're so... We miss them, but we're so glad you're here. So to remind you that this Friday night will be our fun food and fellowship night, so we look forward to that. We invite you to come and be a part of that. It's always a great time together. Tonight we'll have Bible study, and we're going to start tonight, and for the next month we'll be into something different. A couple of people has asked for it, and we're going to be talking about witnessing, soul winning, and so forth. So you folks, it would be really profitable for you to be there and to get some ideas and of some of the methods and so forth and some of the things that we'll be sharing one with another about soul winning. And because this church needs to kind of gear up a little bit more on soul winning. And probably the reason we don't is because we don't know the things that we ought to do. And so hopefully you'll see some of those and we'll help you and be an encouragement to you. So I know that you would be encouraged and it would do you good just to hear some of the ideas and that the people will be sharing one with another. So that'll go on for the next month. And fun food shallot month, what else? Ada Ruth has her birthday this coming Halloween day. She was that spook that made it on Halloween, yeah. Spooky lady. I can remember when we kind of tricked her one time. And Omer and Norma Jean and Vi and Mac, we went over there. She didn't know what to think. You never know what to expect, Ada, on that day. All right. Well, happy birthday. Happy Halloween birthday for you. All right. Anything else taking place? Want to share one with another this morning? If not, as we turn to our prayer list, we have several things we want to share with you this morning. And we have some reports of the people that's on our prayer list. And most of them are doing right well, coming along pretty well. But we have some new ones. Also, we want to be reminded. Doodle's going, I think, Wednesday. Wednesday, it is the 30th. Yeah, Wednesday, the 30th. That Doodle will be going and have his hip worked on. And we just pray that that will be a success for him and he'll be relieved of that pain. So think about him on Wednesday that he'll be going to do that. And Richard, as most of you know, last week had open heart surgery. He's expected to come home tomorrow, maybe, and possible. He's doing okay, as far as we all know. And if everything goes and they get everything worked out, well, he probably might be home tomorrow. Billy Sam Penn is on there, and most of you know Billy Sam. And Billy Sam is in the hospital, had his foot operated on. He's had trouble with his foot, so he had to have a toe amputated and part of his foot. And he's possibly going to come home today or tomorrow, at least. So keep him in your prayers. He sends his greetings by Vicky this morning. And so continue to pray for them and what's taking place in their life. Who else on our prayer list here? We see Donna's back today. We missed you last week, dear. And you feeling better? You know, I mean, getting some strength back in your legs? She said they overworked her. Rehab. That rehab will work on you, won't it? Mm-hmm. Many of you people know that. Yeah. But we're glad that you're back and going here. And let's see, who else? Vernon, he's not here this morning. And Vernon has just never knows when something's going to jump up. And he'll be feeling good tonight at 5 o'clock. And by 10 o'clock, he was sick. And so that happens to him. And so keep those folks in your mind. All right, and our nation, what's taking place in the nation and so forth, and that we could have peace and we could have more unity and just have a greater America. And that our service people, those in the care home.
Excuse me, go ahead. Thelma Jones, who lives down the road a bit, that they took her to the hospital Friday. She's a neighbor. A lot of people know her. She had to have blood transfusions, and she's still in the hospital. They don't really know what's wrong.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thelma, yeah. Dudley's mother, yeah, got you. I'm sorry, I didn't catch you right there. I don't
even see good, I don't hear good either, so but you have to help me all you can.
I need all the help I can get. All right, thanks. Yes, you know, I wondered about her and haven't seen Dudley. About 3 weeks ago I was talking to Dudley and so forth, but I wondered about her. You know, she's been in so long, and we never hear much on her. So, yes, pray for her. And three women that I know is on my prayer list, and that is Mrs. Jones and Stella, Vi, and then Mrs. Clemens, and they're on my daily prayer list, so do that for those folks. They're home, they're alone, and they need a helping hand. Those who care for those who can't care for themselves, certainly we appreciate that so much. And you know, if we know somebody that works there and such, Heaven worked there for a while. I was up to a care home, and she was working there. She no longer works there. But if you know somebody that works there, give them a good word. And the hospital people, when you're talking to them, and the nurses, and always give them a good say. You know, thank them for their service. Man, if it wasn't for them, God uses them in such a great way. It's wonderful. Ron back there knows that. He just had some surgery on his hip and so forth, and I don't see him with a cane this morning. And so that's great. Things working out pretty good. God is just so good, and so many of our people have had difficulties, and one of the things I think about my family and about all you people, and I just have to thank God daily, you know, that he works in our health issues, and everyone is on our prayer list right here, but he's interested, he's concerned, and he works with them, and he uses people like you. A good word is great medicine, so a card or a good word to any of those folks would be great. As we come to our prayer time, God is so good.
Before prayer hymn, go use number 214, first and third verse, and Jerry will have a prayer.
415.
Huh?
415.
Father, be with us as we depart from here and go to our respective homes and return us back to the next appointed time.
Heavenly Father, that's what you do. You forgive us for our many sins. For these things we pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen.
Amen.
Invitation, hymn number 312.
As we introduce the cousins back here, why, they're going to bless us. We're always glad that you're here, and we are glad that you're going to share with us this morning in song. Or maybe one of them is. Now, the other one usually has the guitar. Who has the guitar? Oh, you got the guitar. Okay.
Been on the Amazing Grace. It's called Amazing Grace when it is. Amazing Grace is a favorite of a lot of people.
We used to hear pretty regular from them gals, and we appreciate that. This brings back good memories. Thank you very much. Now, you don't have to applaud, but today is the last day we're going to be looking at chapter 9 of the book of Matthew. And it reads like this: "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then say he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed into his house. But when the multitude saw that, they marveled, and they glorified God, unto which had given such power to men. Now, don't say this apologizing, but I really had a different message. A couple weeks ago, I had a different message for today out of that passage. But when I was finishing it up, I just was on this one too, and this just came to me to go again this way and talk about sin. And I tell you, next week we won't talk about sin. I won't mention sin, but if you bear with me this week, we're going to look at this passage, talk about sin once again, because sin is a terrible thing. And so many people are caught up in sin and causing such heartaches and so forth. And you good people who knows the forgiveness of sins, you need to be encouraged to help those who do not know. And so hopefully this message will kind of gear you a little bit and encourage you to share a little bit more with those who do not know Jesus, that they might experience the good things that you're experiencing here. So I titled this, Sins Enslaved, Forgiveness Sets Free. I had once, I looked at the title, I thought it would just put sin is dangerous, which it really is. Because sin does slay, and sin cripples, and sin destroys life, and sin kills. Some years ago, I used to work for a company out of Cincinnati for several years, and I was a foreman on a construction crew, and we did building sites and subdivisions and different things of that. It's all dirt work, and that's what I did. And another part of our company then had a water and sewer crew, and they had a crew working there. On that crew, there was a certain fella that I knew quite well, and he was a good fella, and he was a good hole operator. And occasionally, I would borrow him and have him come and work on my site for some reason, once in a while, for just a few days at a time, or maybe a day or two at a time. I noticed as he was working, I noticed that he had this extra large thermos jug that he carried. And I noticed as he worked, he would sip on that pretty regular through the day. Lo and behold, I come to find out what he had. He had alcohol in that. And I didn't use him real often, but he was a good worker, and it didn't hinder his work, what he was done for me. So I didn't say anything to the boss about it, and I didn't say anything and didn't confront him with that. I just went on and used him and so forth. But one time, at least once, I think twice happened, but one time he got picked up for drunken driving. He lived in Pendleton County. So his wife would have to drive him then to work. And a time or two, something arose that they couldn't do that. He would come up to my house and ride into work with me. And so time went on, and one day I heard that he'd got fired. And what had happened, he swung his hole around and tore down a tremendous transformer poles and transformers and lights and just did a tremendous damage in the electrical thing there in Cincinnati, and they fired him. And I don't know whether they said, well, the alcohol had anything to do with it or not, I'm not sure of that, but anyhow, they fired him. Time went past, and I come to hear that he was working for a contractor in Campbell County. And again, time went on, and one night I came home, and I don't remember whether Maxine told me about it or whether I just picked it up on the news later on that night. I think maybe she told me about this terrible accident that had happened in Pendleton County. And what had happened, this fella, after work, he had tarried a while in the bar down in Campbell County. And on his way home, he had an accident, his car caught on fire, and he lost his life. And I say, you know, sin, yes, sin cripples, sin destroys, and sin enslaves, and sin kills. In this passage, we have this man, this paralytic. He is this crippled man. We have said a time or two, and we say it in good respect, we don't know. We've said that it's very possible this man's crippling could have come because of some sin that he had in his life. That happens quite often. But regardless of what it was, we do know that his sins were forgiven, and the sins were forgiven before he was cured, and that makes us think that possibly this is what took place there. But we see in that passage that he was crippled. And again, we can say, yes, sin enslaves and sin cripples and sin destroys life and sin kills. Well, to share with you, you know, a little bit more pleasant story is a story like this. And I think there's a fellow sitting here that maybe can understand this story. But young Jimmy and Sally, they went to visit their grandma and grandpa out on the farm for a few days. And grandpa gave Jimmy a new slingshot. And Jimmy was out in the woods and he was trying to hit. He couldn't hit a thing out there. And he was coming back through the backyard and he saw grandma's pet duck. And just out of reactions, he swung back and slung that rock and killed that duck. And he was real distraught. He certainly didn't know exactly what to do. He grabbed the duck and he hid it in the wood pile. Well, just as he was hiding that, he looked up and Sally, his older sister, was watching the whole thing. And so he didn't know what to do, and he went on in the house, and they had lunch. And after lunch, Grandpa said, "Do you kids want to go fishing?" And Grandma said, "Well, now, Sally, I need Sally to help me to prepare supper." And Sally said, "Well, that's taken care of," said little brother here. He wants to do that. He wants to help to do that. And she said, she leaned over and said, "You remember the duck now." And so come evening time and wash the dishes. Supper's over and the dishes will be washed. And grandma said, "Well, come on, Sally, we need to wash dishes." And again, she said, "Well, you know, Jimmy, he really would like to help you wash dishes." And she leaned over again and said, "Remember the duck?" That went on and went on. And Jimmy, boy, he was just getting beside himself. He's getting aggravated. He, you know, "Remember the duck?" And so one day he just confessed to Grandma. And Grandma said, "I'm going to tell you, I killed your duck." And she said, she gave him a great big hug and said, "Well, Jimmy," he said, "that's all right." He said, "I forgive you." She said, "I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. I was just wondering how long that you were going to let Sally enslave you doing her chores and yours both." And so you see, sin, yes, sin enslaves. And sin damages lives and destroys lives, and sin kills. And so as we look in this passage this morning, I want to share with you some thoughts here that will encourage you. And you know, I can look out there and I can say and see, you know, as far as I know, everybody sitting here has come to Jesus, and Jesus has forgiven you and your sins is forgiven. And that's great. But there's a lot of people that is not in that condition. And they're in the condition that we see many of in, that it's not good. And you can share with that. The greatest message that Christians has to proclaim is the reality that sins can be forgiven. We've talked about that and talked about that, but you know, and probably, I'm not boasting here, but probably here at Porter's, the sin has probably been heard in this congregation more than most places. There are televangelists, and there are churches that you could go to this morning and sit in the pews, and you won't hear sin. But listen, friend, that is the thing that we need to know. That's the thing we need to hear. That's the thing that sets people free. And that's the thing that sin is so damaging to people. And we need to realize that. I heard, when I heard of the terrible accident of this good fellow in Pendleton County and how terrible it was, and you know, I felt so ashamed because he rode with me at least twice, I remember, that he came to my house and rode to work with me. And why, Benny, didn't I just boldly, you know, confront him and ask him if he really realized how damaging that alcohol was, how destructive it was. I feel even guilty yet today that why I didn't try to say something more powerful to him in a way that maybe he would have thought, and maybe he wouldn't have paid any attention, but maybe he would have. And you have friends and you know people who are who are enslaved by different things, drugs and alcohol and immorality, the sexual, all kinds of pornography and stuff. People are enslaved and their lives are going to be ruined and their lives will be destroyed. And if we know them, we ought to take the step to share with them that, look, we know, and we have one, we know one who can forgive you, set you free from your addictions, and help you to live this good life that Christ has for you. Greatest message we have to proclaim, and we don't hear it enough, and I promise you, you won't hear it next week, but sin. Sin, it slays, it cripples, it destroys life, and it kills. The Christian faith has many values. Virtues along, they have endless applications for it. But the most essential message man has received from God is the fact a sinner can fully experience his sins forgiven. Fully experience his sins forgiven. I know people get caught up and they just think that God might forgive them for this little sin, but this great sin. No. There's no sin. There's only one sin the Bible talks about that can be forgiven. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's another story. But there's no sin that can't be forgiven by Almighty God. He made it possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, forgiveness is a sin, is the real heart of the message of Christianity. That's the thing that's going to get us where we want to go or going to get us where we don't want to go. Sin, and we need to understand it, and we need to share it. Today, forgiveness of sin is a real heart of our message. The healing of the paralytic here in chapter 9, I think, it embraces that message of forgiveness. And you know, if you looked in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Matthew, you find there's 9 healings that took, 9 miracles, I guess we would better say, that Jesus focused on. And there are various miracles, and I want to share with you, if you will, these miracles in fact, in these two chapters. I say there's 9 miracles took their case that Matthew records. And I believe these miracles were presented. I believe that Jesus did these miracles just to impress upon us the deity and character of Jesus as the Messiah of Israel, the one who came to seek and to save the lost, the one that has power to forgive sins on earth, he says here. Beginning in chapter 8, we see that, you know, he just touched the hand. Jesus touched the hand and cleansed the leper. And without touch, he talked. He just voiced into a message, and he healed. His voice it was used. But by faith of the elders and the centurion, Jesus heals the centurion's servant. You remember that story we had in our Bible class just a couple weeks ago, that Jesus did that. And so you, a friend, and this scripture talks very strongly about those friends brought this paralytic. And so friends can really help friends come to know Jesus and get their sins relieved by him. He comes to the house of Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And it says he just touched her hand, lifted her up, and she was made well. Next, we see Jesus and his disciples. They're going across the Galilean Sea. And he's tired. He falls asleep in the back of the boat there. And his disciples are trying hard to guide that ship across the Galilean Sea. But the winds are rough and the waves are up. And they wake Jesus and he just speaks to the waves and wind. And they ceased and the sea is calm, it says. It is here that Jesus demonstrates his power, not only over the physical, but also over nature. And as he approaches, if you remember we talked about, he approaches the Gadareans. And when he come to shore there, he met two men who were, Matthew says two men. Mark says one, but there's no description. Mark was just emphasizing the one. And so I take that Matthew is right and Mark is right. He just a different emphasize on. But Matthew says there were two men. They were running through the tombs. They were scaring people. They were demon-possessed. And it says when Jesus came there, he spoke to the demons and cast them out, put into the swine that was grazing nearby. Now, as I noticed, Jesus proved his miracles and his power and ability to heal the sick, to control nature, and deal with demons. He now demonstrates that he can bring that which is needed to relieve men and women of the guilt of sin and bring peace into the human heart. That is what is needed more than anything. All we talk about the world and all the confusion and so forth, and we're wanting peace. But the only peace that we can have within our hearts and lives can really come from Jesus Christ, casting away the sins of our lives. We often hear people say, you know, that the different needs they have in life. I hear people say, oh, I need a bigger house. Somebody say, I need a better car. Somebody say, I need another better job, or I need to make more money. But the greatest need of any man, woman, boy, or girl in this great universe that we live is to have their sins forgiven. It just saddens me that there's so many people who are living with all kinds of things, big homes, nice cars, and big jobs, and all kinds of things, but lost. Lost. And some of them we know about, and what are we doing about it? The greatest message. We go and we revel with them and their goodness and their big home and their nice car, and there's nothing wrong with them. Jesus blesses people in certain ways, and just we are to live good and such, but we can't revel in those things. The greatest need for anybody, that person that's in that cardboard box, his or her greatest need, they're on that sidewalk, is not a good house. Their greatest need is not money. Their greatest need is to have their sins forgiven and have the hope of eternity. And between those things, God will bless with what's needed there. Some people can harden their hearts about anything. No one should let the lack of evidence or the lack of proof keep them from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people said, well, I don't know how you prove that. Is there evidence to show forth for that? And they want to say they just can't believe it. It's not. I don't believe that's the problem. I believe the problem is it is moral perversity. I believe it is stubbornness of the heart that keeps people from coming to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that kindly, but I really do believe. Moral perversity. Think about it. How it keeps out that evil, that sinful, evil work of Satan keeps so many people from coming to the Lord. Stubbornness. Blind. You know, stubbornness blinds the minds of people to the good things. They just don't want to believe. They don't think it's good for them. And it blinds the minds and reasoning of men and women. Listen, folks, we hear the word. We hear God's word proclaimed week after week, and we must. And I say we must. We must not allow ourselves to be hardened by apathy. That is we cannot allow ourselves to become uninterested in God's word. You know, it's quite a shame, isn't it? The lack of interest in God's word. And we look across, we go to the people we deal with day in and day out, and the lack of interest. And that's hopefully what we're going to get to the next month, to show a little more interest and to equip us to be able to speak up a little more often and in better places. And so, yeah, we hear the word, and we just cannot let it keep us from being interested in what God has done for us and what God is doing for us and what God will do for us. Sin blinds us to that. Jesus demonstrated his authority and power. And actually, authority and power is the same thing. They're synonyms. What one means, the other means. You know, if somebody has power, they got authority. If they got authority, they got power. And Jesus had that. And Jesus spoke. And for fun, the other day, I clicked into my old computer. And boy, I'm going to get a lot of good use out of that. Boy, thank you, folks. Clicked into my old computer, and I wanted to see how many times that authority was attributed to Jesus and how many times power was attributed to Jesus. You know, surprisingly, what I found? I found around 20 times where we find authority attributed to Jesus. But you know, I found 50, at least 50, and probably more, 50 at least I got times that power is attributed to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, to think that the authority and power. But however you look at it, however you want to look at this passage, it certainly sets forth the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, and he has power over sickness, and he has power over sickness and death, and he has authority over sin. I can just visualize the people's eyes must really bugged out of their head out there with the Gadarean graveyard. When Jesus cast those demons, when Jesus spoke with authority and said, get out of here and get in those hogs. What authority has that man, Jesus, our Savior? Paraphrasing what Jesus said here in this short passage to the Pharisees, he said, listen. He said, behold, listen to what I'm telling you. He told the scribes and Pharisees, he said, I'm doing all this. I'm doing all this, and I'm healing and casting out demons and all the things that I'm doing. I'm doing this. I'm forgiving sins. He is pressing home a claim upon these scribes and Pharisees, all that are present here. He's pressing upon them. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah of Israel. He is the forgiver of sins. He is the one who came and died on Calvary's cross so that you and I could be set free from our sin and live the glorious life Jesus has for us. As I close this morning with this series of messages, and I look upon you good people out here, and I really believe that you are faithful, that you're sincere about your faith, that you love the Lord, you're thankful for his forgiveness, and you're thankful for the power that he uses and working in your life. And I want to encourage you that there's people out there that's not experiencing what you are. And Jesus came to forgive them. You know, what Matthew records here, as far as Matthew 9 and 6 here, he says here that, but that ye may know, and that's what he told the scribes first, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. Matthew 1 and 21 is said, and he's speaking to Mary. And he says to Mary, the angel, and she shall bring forth, or he says of Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Why such an emphasis there? Why not say you're going to have a son? He's going to name Jesus. He's going to come forth telling good news about God. He's going to come back healing. He's going to come back. He's going to come casting out demons. No, it said that he will save his people from their sins. John, 1 John 2 and 12 says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven. Not is going to be. A-R-E. They are forgiven. He paid the price. All we need to do is accept what he has done for us. Let me encourage you this last time as we talk here for a while. We won't be talking about sin. Let me encourage you this one last time, say to you, please don't leave here today. Please, please don't leave here today unless you can say, I know my sins are forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven. You can add that. I know my sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. And you hear that can say, remember, please, there are people who are enslaved to sin. They're crippled by sin. Their lives are destroyed by sin. They're full of guilt. They're fed up with life. They're empty of peace and searching for purpose. Please, please bring them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. If you have to carry them on a bed, but all you mostly have to do is just load them in your car. That shouldn't be too hard. Just pick them up. Say, I'll be by your house Sunday. I'm going to pick you up and take you to church with me. You'll hear the good news proclaimed. Well, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you need to, come. But I'm going to ask you to do this. Because as I say, I look out and I see. We all sin and we need to be repent daily and such. But I believe that people can say, evidently you do, because you left here when I used that in my message before, when I said, please don't leave here unless you can say, I know my sins are forgiven, and everybody left. So I conclude then that your sins are forgiven, and you're sure of that. And if you're so sure of that, then let me tell you this. Continue to bring the wandering ones to Jesus as we stand.
Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. It's so encouraging to see people who love the Lord and love other people share the great message of the salvation through Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Bring your friends to Jesus. Bring your neighbors to Jesus. Bring your co-workers to Jesus. Bring your schoolmates to Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's the hope we have. All comes through Jesus. Robert, would you dismiss us in God's care?